Well, good morning. What's on your mind? Sounds like you just got back from a nice trip, Dan.
Yeah. We
Well,
stayed in Nashville a couple nights to see our daughter and then went on down to Florida and did a whole lot of nothing. Beach
awesome.
and seafood. Yep.
It's quiet in Nashville, isn't it?
Yeah, we did go downtown where my friend's plant is near downtown, so we had lunch there. Gosh, I guess it was Friday, but it was pretty quiet. Yeah, it was pretty quiet. There's more people than I thought, but pretty quiet.
Not enough to really make the town go.
No.
We have 30 cranes in downtown Nashville. More than I've ever seen. It's like, I don't know, it's like fourth in the country
Yeah.
for the number of cranes. I can count 14 from my building.
Yeah.
No, I'm sorry, 19 from my building. Amazing.
You're in the gulch?
I'm right on the river. So
Oh.
I'm up on the
Okay.
hill. I'm up on the hill. As you face the city, I'm up on the left. So you can walk downtown very easily.
Have you seen the plans that Jeff Bezos' girlfriend, wife, whatever, have for the north end of that? Like a $2.5 billion project?
No.
Yeah, I'll try to get you the website or the article on that. But basically north, what's the bridge that crosses over by Titan Stadium? In that low-lying area, they're huge project that's at this point just on the drawing board, but complete with canals, water taxis up the Cumberland to downtown area where you can live and commute by water taxi. So if it ever comes to fruition, it is really cool looking.
Yeah, there's a lot of the rivers really, no one's take, I mean, I first thing I did was look, walk down the river and look for the restaurants on the river, and there aren't any.
Yeah.
It's probably because of flooding.
Oh yeah.
And they
Yeah.
don't, you know, somebody from the West Coast wouldn't understand flooding. So they'd be ready to put things right all over the river, and all of a sudden they could all get wiped out. But aside from that, it'd be a wonderful project.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's
Well,
like, I mean, they have the worst things in the world next to the river. I mean, it's like the old river towns where they put all the worst parts of the city down by the river, that they
right.
didn't care about, and they put all the houses on the high hills.
Yeah.
And it's smart because a 100-year flood comes, but Chicago and every other city, San Antonio, they all have fabulous waterfronts.
Right.
And it's kind of crazy that Nashville doesn't. So clearly, an outsider sees it immediately.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway. So, Dean, are you there?
No, I'm back in Illinois.
Okay.
Yeah.
Brad, I'm sorry. Brad, are you there? Okay, I can't hear
He put a note to that you can unmute him now,
you. Okay.
Rob,
Yeah,
in the
unmute.
chat.
Let me see if I can unmute him here. It was easy to mute him. Now it's impossible to unmute him.
Perfect.
Put him in the waiting room. I can do that. Merge him. Stop chat. Doesn't say
Maybe
unmute.
it's his phone number, Rob, instead of his picture, because his phone number is ends in 3819. Do you see that? That's muted.
Okay. Yes, got it. Unmute. Very good. Come on, unmute. I've hit it 3 times. It won't unmute.
Can Brad unmute it on his end?
Come on, Zoom, you better. I've hit it 6 times now.
That's an even number. Maybe you need to do it one more time to make it odd, if it was muted.
That's the weirdest thing, isn't it? Unmute audio. Did not work. I can't seem to unmute anybody. Tried Courtney, I couldn't do her. Maybe I've lost power here. I'm not the all powerful leader.
Pay no attention to the man behind the curtain.
Really?
The Oz.
Courtney, can you unmute yourself?
Can you hear me now?
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. That worked.
So I think I can't unmute Brad's situation there. I think he has to do it himself.
Brad, you said your cell service was down, right? Nod for yes.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Yes.
There you go.
Yay!
All right.
Sorry about that. I don't know, man. I'm just probably operator error.
I buzzed my head today, last night. So there you go. Gotta see the bright, shiny object here. I had a chance to look through your LinkedIn and your web pages as asked for, and the only thing that was kind of weird was, Dean, when I went to see your website, I didn't get, you are not part of it. You've taken yourself off of there, I guess. You're on Brad's website now. Is that correct?
Yeah, and actually, that website should say Hulse Crandall.
Yes.
Yeah, we have a team website, and that's where Dean would be.
So your picture's still on the old one, Dean, but there's no reference to you. Is that correct? Is that the way you want it?
Larry, is that what we've been working on?
Well, have you done anything since you've been back? I haven't looked at it today.
No. Uh-uh.
Okay. Dean has both individual page as well as he's on the team page. The last I looked, let me
take a look here real quick.
The team one with Brad. Yes.
Yes.
There was one thing that Dean needed to change as far as the reference to the team. But that's something I cannot change. He has to do that. So,
but when I click on Dean's, when I click on your LinkedIn site, to go to your web page, I go to your old team, and on that team, you're not listed.
All right. Well, yeah, I think we know what the problem is.
So you just have to change that. You just have to change that.
The link.
The link. You just have to change the link to Dean Crandall, you know, to the Hulse Crandall team.
Right.
On the LinkedIn link, on the LinkedIn page.
Correct.
Okay.
That's the only thing I
Twitter as well.
Right.
Yeah. Sorry. Twitter as well, Dean.
Right, right.
So did you hire a virtual engagement associate?
Not yet. I sent Dean some information, but, you know, he was on vacation last week, so we've not had a chance to really talk about it.
Okay. I'm getting really good feedback. I got more good feedback on that.
I do have a 11 o'clock meeting with a guy from Drive Social Media, probably somebody we will not hire. My friend in Nashville, who's a very, very skeptical business person who guards his time, gave this kid, he said, you know, one of those, you have 2 minutes. And he said, I was there for an hour. But he was talking about social media engagement and how, you know, it's not about Facebook likes and stuff like that. People follow the wrong things. So I'm going to listen to him at 11. Highly doubtful that we'll hire him because it was, what, $25,000, something like that. But, yeah, so that's going on too.
Yeah, this is,
and I shall.
This is about, $2,500. And it's, and I'm getting absolutely fabulous reviews from people. But the young, the
Rob,
people.
Have the people you're talking to, have they been specific about what they like about this virtual engagement team?
Not as much as just doing everything for them. You know, take a look at their website, look at this, look at that, take care. No, they haven't been. But I was Jim Pritchard, who is a sales manager in the Pennsylvania complex, I talked to him last week about these people, and he's using, I think there are 60 of them now, and they are being used, and you know, these FAs and managers are not usually giving rave reviews to anybody for anything. So when they give rave reviews, I'm like, whoa, okay. So it's working. It's working. They're getting good results, which is, you know, what we're after. Now, what those results are, other than everything looking better, I don't know. But it's, you know, I don't expect it's generating a lot of business, but it's making their life much easier. And everything is moving smoothly, according to Jim. And he thinks.
Well, and the reality is they offer a 3-month free trial. So, I mean, we'd be foolish
right.
not to at least accept that.
Yeah, yeah. I would, I mean, based on what they said, seriously, even though it wasn't specific, I would do it today. Because I never get, I think there are probably 3 teams in that complex that are using these guys, and all 3 were raving fans. So I was like, whoa, okay, that's enough for me. There wasn't one person that said anything negative about it.
This is all Morgan Stanley approved?
This is Morgan Stanley itself.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah, it's your own guys. It's free, basically. I mean, you got to pay $2,500. I like it because you got to pay for it. That means it's sustainable. You know, you have something that where you don't have to pay for it. It's unsustainable, and then it goes away. You know, as soon as you get used to it and you like it, it goes away because they cut costs, right? But if this is a break even or a moneymaker for them, terrific, you know, that's good for you guys because then it'll be there 2 years from now. And if you can, I mean, I would do it myself if I could hire them. But, yeah, so, and you guys, you know, you pay attention. So, let me know. I think, The sooner you get it up and running, the sooner you can critique it, and you can give me some feedback. But I've been really recommending it ever since they recommended it, because, you know, my job is to help you guys any way I can, right? So this is an easy one, because I can go through your website and tell you, you know, you're missing this, or you should have a picture of the team or something like that, but I'm not going to get into the proper algorithms to make your hits better. So I think they do that. You know, they help you post things that are effective and so forth.
You know, Rob, if you really want to hire him, we have room on our team if you want to come join us.
Yes, I was just talking to my brother. We recommend that people retire. I know this sounds crazy, but you really should think about retiring around the age of 60. Because 60s are fabulous. You have money, you have time, you have energy, and you can do everything. The 70s, everybody gets something, some little present that's going to affect them. Right? So the 70s are doable, but not as doable. So you're going to get something. And so you're closer to home in your 70s. You're not traveling the world as much as you could have in your 60s. And in your 80s, you're just happy to be alive. And that's only 30 years, guys. I mean, you think it's forever, right? Think how fast the last 30 years has gone. It's like, bing, boom. So, no, I'm not ready to go to work. Thank you very much. I'd love to.
Some days, just thinking of you, though.
Some days I wake up and I think, I can do this again, you know. I even dream about managing an office and things like that. But then I wake up and I realize it was a nightmare.
Every time after vacation, I come home thinking I could do this a lot longer than what I just did. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and what my brother made the mistake of was not retiring to something. He retired from, 40 years at Merrill, but he didn't retire to something. He had checked all the boxes. He had the money, but he just retired and he didn't have a plan. He didn't have his bucket list. We talked about this morning, because he said, I need a cardiologist in Sarasota. I said, okay, I'll get you. He's moving to Sarasota. And I mean, first thing he needs is a cardiologist, not because he's had a heart attack, but because he's a mess. And he's going to have a heart attack if he doesn't take care of himself. You know, he's not in shape. He's in terrible shape. And anyway, so I get a call at 7 o'clock this morning. I need a cardiologist. I'm like, ah, God, he's had a heart attack. I call him right back and he goes, oh no, it's 8 o'clock on the East Coast. Oh, that's right. Okay. Don't worry. So we talked about retirement and when to retire and that he waited too long. So don't wait too long. Have fun while you're there. Yeah, that's the other thing. Enjoy your time. Enjoy your vacations. Take 2 weeks. Don't take a week. Take 2 weeks. I know it seems like everything will fall apart if you're not there, but you can go to Africa with your family. I mean, not that you can now, but, next year you will be able to. So do that while you're young and the kids are young or younger, or they still want to be with you, or they don't have their own families. When they have their own families, then it's tough to get them away. So anyway, part of the looking back, it's really clear. You ever look back at the After you're sitting on the green, on the green, and you look back at the hole and you go, God, that doesn't look that hard. But when you're on the tee box, it looks like hell. Well, when you're on the green at 74, you know, it didn't look that hard. It was hard, but I missed a few things. I should have spent more time coaching the kids when they were young. That's one thing I regret, because I did it when they were real young, but then when they got into junior high and high school and things, I didn't, and I should have. Anyway, but you got another chance with your grandchildren, so you can do it right.
Rob, I will say we like having my parents around and my in-laws around, but maybe some of that's for the babysitting, so it might be a little self-serving on our side.
Oh, the babysitting is great, you know. Yeah, and that's great for the grandparents. I mean, I've really enjoyed this time with Juliet because, you know, I guess her mom a chance to do some yoga and relax at 4 o'clock. I pick her up every day. We go hit golf balls, and it's just a great time. And yesterday was a breakthrough day. She was hitting the ball really well. So it was like, yes, we can do this. Anyway, week 11, leadership. Did you get a chance to watch the video, and what questions do you have?
I watched it, and we've got some work to do.
Any questions on it, Brad?
No, I don't think so. I think it's a matter of, you know, the handout had some pretty specific suggestions as to what the game board looks like. And then the video had some pretty specific suggestions for how to structure meetings, you know, from the 10-minute stand-up meeting in front of the CSA's desk to the all the way through to the annual one-day meeting. So, I mean, I think there's a lot of good material there. We just, Dean and I, need to talk it over and put it to practice.
Yeah, it's, you know, I've had the pleasure of coaching a lot of different teams and a lot of really good teams. And I just read an article in Barron's team in the Southeast, that biggest team in the Southeast, and I was interested that they're doing Zoom, but they have a morning Zoom and they have an afternoon Zoom with a team. Now they've got a really big team, but I was interested in the fact that they did that consistently. So my suggestion is that you do, every day you do a morning Zoom. It can be 15 minutes, 20 minutes, whatever, but it gets everybody on the same page. And when you're together in an office, I recommend the same thing. Just a quick morning meeting, getting everybody up to speed, administrative things, everybody who's, you know, what reviews do we have today that are, you know, any issues, and just, you know, it's just communications, right? And then...
So, Rob, one question I do have, though, is, yeah. I mean, obviously we can't maintain a game board or a physical game board because we're not in the office to gather around and update it, take a look at it.
Right.
Do you have a suggestion for a digital game board or just try to do that?
Yeah, digital. I would, a lot of people are going digital anyway. And, I like, interesting. I worked with a private equity company, and in the corner of every team, they had a game board, interestingly enough, right? And on the game board were all the deals they were working on, and they would keep them updated. And that's, you know, it's kind of like a pipeline tool. So the pipeline tool is different from the game board. A pipeline tool should be something that you are actively working on and you should look at every day. and you should update it literally every day. And there should be one person on the team that takes responsibility for the pipeline. And then you should talk about that at the Monday morning meeting. But the Monday meeting is also about activity. And so it doesn't have to be complicated. It can be 10 minutes of, you know, this is what I did. This is the activity I was engaged in last week. These are the goals I set for activity. And these are, you know, these were the successes I had in terms of. The idea is that if we get the activity right, we'll get the results we want. And you know that. If we don't have the activity, we don't get the results. So whatever encourages the activity is what we want that Monday meeting to be about. It isn't necessarily about, you know, how great I did. It's I did. I took the walk. You know, it isn't how fast you walked. It's that you took the walk. Okay? So if you're trying to get in shape, you start with a walk, right? So you took the walk. Then I walk and I ran a little bit. Then I ran a little more, but I did it. Or you just walked. The idea is the activity is what we're going to recognize on the Monday meeting. Now the Friday meeting, and you can make it Thursday night. It doesn't actually matter exactly when you do it. But the idea is you separate the two meetings. So Monday is a marketing meeting about growing, and Friday is about results. Now results are in every area. So you take the five stars and you report in on how you did in each of the five stars. So the director of planning, implementation, brand management, marketing, and leadership report in on how they did. And then the leadership person reports in on how you did in terms of the numbers that you're tracking. This is how we did in terms of net new money this week. This is how we did in terms of annuitized business this week. We added this much. Okay. So it's the Friday meeting is very much based on the goals you set for the year, what you want to accomplish, broken down into weekly goals. And then you hold yourselves accountable to those numbers every week. So if you want to do X number of plans or X number of updates, and as far as the planning director, you know, we're on track. We said we'd do two plans a week. We're doing two plans a week. We did two plans last week. Perfect. And so forth. So you just go through it and you will get better results because you track it. You know that. I mean, if you're a goal setter, you're not here because you're not a goal setter. So at some point in your life, you were a great goal setter. You may still be a great goal setter, but what happens is when we reach our goals, we stop setting goals. And so we have to start them up again. Goal setting isn't natural. It's something you have to actually consciously do. You have to dream about what it is that you want to achieve. And then you've got to set the goals, and then you have to hold yourselves accountable. And the more you can create bilateral contracts for that, multilateral contracts, the better you'll do. Meaning, if you set goals for yourself, not as powerful as if you set goals and tell somebody about them. So if you decide you're going to run a marathon, you tell everyone you're going to run the marathon. And you get a coach or a running partner, and you get your routines established, and you read books, and you figure out, how am I going to run a marathon? And that's how you run a marathon. You don't do it by saying, I'm going to run a marathon. You say, I'm going to run a marathon, and you tell everybody else, and then you set up rituals around that marathon, and you get yourself a running partner, and you hold yourself accountable to that set of workouts that are going to get you to that marathon. And that's the same way here. It's no different. you're going to do X number of net, you're going to get X number, you're going to be a, you know, Barron's 50. Okay, what's it take to be a Barron's 50? And then you set the goal and then you go for it. So anyway, that's what those meetings are all about. And people won't have the meetings if they don't set the goals, because they're like, why would we have the meetings? We're not trying to achieve anything. We're doing fine, right? That's always the answer. We're doing fine. The leadership piece is really a healthy concept of servant leadership. It's about giving to others and developing your teammates and developing yourself in the meantime. So we talk about failure points in week 12, but benefits of servant leadership we cover in week 12 also. But the idea is, through servant leadership, caring more about the team than yourself and caring more about others, you develop your teammates. And Dean knows that when I ran the Midwest District, I couldn't always get, there's going to be the superstar managers that you want to get to come to your district. And they would go to Atlanta and New York and Los Angeles. And so when I put Wisconsin up as a market and I needed a new manager, I couldn't always get the number one guy in the class, right? I'd have to hunt for people. So, and then when I get them, they're usually had some issues. And so my job was to make that manager into the best manager they could be. And so it became a real developmental opportunity rather than just taking huge talent and refining it. And so it was a much more hands-on job than a typical district director job, which made it a lot more fun, to be frank with you. So I took a few retreads and some people that had some challenges in their past history. And I hired him, I gave him another chance, and then I monitored them very carefully. But I had some great luck with them, and they did very, very well. And that's that's sort of the best scenario. Thinking, I was just reading about, I think it was a government situation where the leader is, I mean, let's face it, let's say a Navy job, right? You're appointed to commanding officer of a ship. Well, you can't fire everybody, right, on your ship. And they can't fire you. So you got to all learn to live together and make the best of it. And that's what we do as leaders, is that we take the people that we have and we make them into the best people possible. And how do you do that? You care about them and spend time with them. And you coach them and teach them. So that takes effort and that takes time. And it isn't just periodically stopping in. It means that you say, okay, once a month we're going to meet. We're going to go through your goals and aspirations on a personal and professional level. And I'm going to help as much as I can to have you achieve those goals. So it's a different role than we think of typically for financial advisors on teams. It's a real leadership role. So you have a folder for each member of your team and you set personal and professional goals for them. So they would have some personal goals in terms of something that they want to accomplish in their life, get married, have children, be in better shape, run a marathon. And in professional life, they want to have, they want to develop themselves professionally in terms of designation. I want to get my CFP. I want to get my CFA. And then I also want to grow my practice this much. And I want to be in this club, or I want to be in a Barron's 100 or whatever. Or I just want to, I want to become an FA, or I want to, or I don't want to become an FA. I want to become the best at what I am, at what I do. So you help the person, whoever they are, to become the very best at what they do. And that, that will, you guys are people that care, all right, based on your Christian beliefs, your servant leaderships. You believe in the servant leadership idea. And so this should be something that you are outstanding at. And this will build your team and make you all better because of it. So I really, you know, I believe in this. And if I were running a team, I would, this would be the most important thing I would do on the team, would be the personal development of my team, which is the only thing you can do. You know, I used to tell my managers, you got two jobs. One is to grow your people, coach your people, and the other is to recruit new people, grow the numbers. And we would end up with, we basically ended up with a supernova kind of model where we didn't grow the total number of FAs. With Dean and the guys, we grew smaller offices and we grew that way. But for the most part, in Indianapolis, I still had the same, close to the same number of guys, but we doubled the revenues. And that's what you want to do. You want to, you know, you don't need more people. You just need everybody doing more business. It's like we don't want more numbers of accounts. We want to double the value of each of our accounts, each of our clients. So we want them to, average client having 10 million in assets. What a wonderful goal. That was, the article was on Rod Westmoreland. His average account size is now 10 million. He's got 6 billion in assets. And I don't know, Dean, if you remember, I brought him in to speak and I knew him quite well, and he wasn't doing the business. He didn't have 6 billion. He didn't have a billion. He had, 600 million in assets at the time, which is a lot. But, so that's exponential growth, right? He just has kept on growing, but he's a good guy. He's never a jerk. So you can be nice and grow.
Yeah, he's very unassuming.
Yeah, he is, isn't he?
Yeah.
Biggest producer in the Southeast now, which I thought was interesting. And he loves Merrill Lynch, which was nice to hear. You know, nobody cares about their firms anymore. Everybody's moving and going independent, all this. And I understand it. It's a different world, but. It was nice to read. Anyway, so questions on that?
I think
it's self-explanatory.
It's just us figuring out, like the game board and everything, virtual and digital, and a lot of that's not going to change once we're able to get back to whatever normal is, because we're still going to be very much scattered. So we're going to have to, I love the game board thing. I've always, in my office here, I've always wanted to have a whiteboard that covers the whole wall that lays out my life. And I'm kind of old school. I spreadsheets are great, but when I commit to writing it down, it just takes on a different meaning when you write something versus typing something into a digital format. But we're going to have to get away, we'll have to get around that.
And you know, you can have it in your office. And you can just, you can put it on the Zoom board. I mean, you can do things on here. You can have it digitally, but then project it onto the screen and you can be over at the side.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's possible. But it's also the fact that you wrote it down. You know, I used to have boards in my office. I don't know if you remember that, Dean, but I used to have flip charts in my office when we were doing the masters, and it would have, the top, I would have all the top offices because I didn't care how we did regionally or any of that. I cared about how we did nationally, right? So we wanted to know.
I remember those flip charts.
Do you remember?
in my ranking on them. Oh yeah.
Right. Yeah. And you walk into my office and there they were right there, you know, yeah. And if you wanted something, you'd look, everybody walk in the office and they'd look at the charts and then they'd either enthusiastically ask for something or they would less than enthusiastically ask for something. They know where my head was. Right. So it was. And don't you think that made a difference every day when I walked in the office, what I was thinking about, right? That's our national ranking in asset growth. And these are the top 125 FAs. And this is where my guys rank in the top 125. So I'd have them listed and ranked. And then, you know, every year we'd go on that wonderful, those wonderful trips. It was a simple game. It was like the Olympics. It made it life very simple for all of us. And I wasn't jamming a product down anybody's throat. We were doing asset gathering and cash management and all the 401ks or whatever they were focusing on that year. So it was a very healthy thing. But for me, it made it fun. And of course, when they canceled that, then we created Supernova, which I obsessed about. And the reason I bring it up is because I needed that visual reinforcement to keep me on track every single day. Okay. So who's the most important person to keep on track? You. Okay. It's wonderful to keep the team on track, but the most important person to have the flip chart for the wall or the slick board is you, Dean. Okay, so you can bring one right in there and put it up every day and remind yourself of what you're trying to accomplish. Okay, so you really, there's no reason, even if you're by yourself, to not have that. It sounds crazy, but it would work because you can always turn your screen and show everybody your chart.
I think I really do want to convert either my office here at home or the Danville office kind of into a command post, you know, where everything is visually in one place. I got a lot of work to do here. It might look organized behind me, but it's a mess everywhere else. So
it looks great. Yeah.
I'm not going to move the camera. You wouldn't say that.
No. But anyway, it's, the key is to get excited about something, you know, get excited about some goal that you guys want to accomplish together. And you got to make it as concrete as possible with a deadline. And then, and it could be multiple goals that build on each other. But, I needed very definitive goals or I just wouldn't have been happy. It didn't mean anything. In this stage of my life, I'm having a good time because I don't have goals. I'm being one of those guys, you know, that I used to hate.
uh-huh.
But I can, right? I can. I don't have anybody depending on me except for Lori and Cindy. And I can do enough business to keep them busy and paid for. But other than that, it's just fun. You know, I'm just doing whatever is fun for me, not what's work. You know, it's not painful. So I enjoy the heck out of this, but to help you guys, we really need to come up with some really exciting concrete goals that would make you excited and would drive you. And it's not hard when you're having a fun goal. Like, honestly, my poor granddaughter's getting the brunt of my energy now in goal setting. I worry a little. I try to really be nice and sweet and take our little picnic and everything else, but I really want her to be a great golfer. Anyway, and she's innocent at this point. She doesn't know what's lurking around the corner. She's still having fun, as long as she has fun. I used to teach tennis a lot, long, long, long ago, and I loved it and created some really good players. So I know how to do this. It's all the same, you know, coaching is coaching, whether you're leading a team or you're coaching a grandchild. I always said if I didn't work in the job I had, I would have been a kindergarten teacher. And now I truly believe it. It's so much fun. They're such a blank slate. They're so much fun to work with. Anyway. So Dean, good. If you get it, it is the boards are really important. The visual and you know, the people that did it really well, really kept it up, you know, the game board. Chris Brook did that. You know, Chris Brook was a struggling kid when I met him, and he was almost failed out of the business.
And then from Detroit?
Chris Brook was in Indy. And, okay. And he ended up, you know, I think he's one of the, no, he broke up with his partner, but still one of the biggest producers in Indianapolis now. And they use the game board constantly. If you ever get over there and get a chance to see them again, or talk to Chris, or just read about him in the Supernova Multiplier. Most of the guys I have in the Supernova Multiplier are frankly from UBS. But Chris I followed up on, and yeah, he kept on using the game board the whole time. And all it was a flip chart. And they used to have it behind the door and they'd bring it out for their meetings and stuck with it. And they had a pipeline. They had a pipeline tool that they used constantly. And we're obsessed about it. People that really prospect well and grow their practices obsess about their pipeline.
Hey, Rob, just so you know, I do have an 11 o'clock yep. client meeting.
Oh, so. Sorry. We've gone over. I've been digressing. Anyway, any questions?
Not for me.
Okay. All right. Good, guys. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Okay. Thank you, Rob.